Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Sotah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKedesh, is daf Chof Vav. But I would like, if you don't mind, to start at the beginning of the sugya again, because we sort of stopped right in the middle of the kasha on Reb Nachman. So just to remember again the whole sugya, if you take a look at Chof Amid Beis, let's start right at the top. So over there, I mean, as I mentioned to you, that's, again, very misleading, because this piece of the Gemara is really not about the issue of Mi'uberet Chaveiro. It's about the next piece, which was talking about that in Ilanitz and in Zekena and in Akara, that those people, according to the Tanakhama, do not drink from the Mayim HaMa'orim. And Rabbi Lazar says, well, why not? You could always have another woman to reproduce with, so there's nothing inherently wrong with this marriage. So now, we had yesterday that Om Reb Nachman, Om Reb Baravua, Machloket Bakara Vezekina. It's true that the question over here would apply to the cases of a postmenopausal woman or someone who was, for some other reason, became sterile through an operation or whatever. But the idea over here is not going to impact islanders, because when it comes to an islander, it's a totally different issue. And therefore, the machloket between Rabbi Elazar, who says that there should be no problem of a woman who can't have children because you can always have another wife, he was not referring to the islanders. He was only talking about the akora, it was the kenan, it was there that the chachomim argued with him. But mashenkin ba'ilanit, divri akolo shotavalo notalot ketuvata, because of a different reason. An Ilanit is not included in the entire parsha of Sotah, because as part of the description of what happens to the Sotah, if she actually had not been Mizana, is that after she drinks the water, v'niktav v'nizra azera, so she is going to end up being able to have children, and so on, which means that she has to be within that set of people that are shayach to having children. Mishadar kala azriya. Masha Inkain, this woman was never included in that set of people. So the postmenopausal woman was obviously normal, part of the normal reproductive pool. And the one who became an Akara through whatever event is part of the normal reproductive pool. Masha Inkain, an Islandess, is not part of the reproductive gene pool, and therefore is not included in this entire parsha. So Tainiz Reb Nachman. So yesterday we saw that we have a Beferish Abraita. It's a very long bright that mentions Ilanit only at the very, very end. So it's, you know, you have to have a little bit of patience to get to the question on Reb Nachman. But let's just run through it again so that we can remember the question and then get into the new things that we would have today. So the idea over there, remember, the bright starts at the beginning. So the guy gives kinui for Narusa Shomeret Yavam. The halacha is, of course, that he cannot use that kinui to be mashka her now. So therefore, imachelo kanasa nistrav, before the yibum, or before the marriage at chuppah, she went ahead and was nisteret, well, then she cannot drink, because we have this special halacha of the tachat. This, of course, going only with Rabbi Yonatan, atki satit tachat ishech, and the zotorata kana otisha tachat isha. Fine. So there, lo shota and lo notela ketuvata. But in the case where it would have been afterwards, of course, then we said that the kinui would have helped from before for later. Somebody who went ahead and was married to Mu'uberet Chaviro or Mineket Chaviro, lo shotot ve lo notot ketuva, because Alibet Rebbe Meir will see that that is a permanently prohibited relationship. Once he went ahead and was over on that issur of marrying and therefore endangering the milk supply of another man's wife, another man's pregnancy, and he's out of the picture now, died or divorced, so he's not allowed to marry her until after the 24 months of the nursing, after the birth, in the case of the pregnancy, says his Rebbe Meir, because Rishai Rebbe Meir Omer, this halacha of lo yisa damu ber chavero mineket chavero, means that there's a knas. Im nasa, if a man does do that, he's never allowed to remarry her. Yotzi v'lo yachzir olamit. So that's why, according to Rabbi Meir, this is no longer a licit marriage. Mashenkein, the chachamim armim look. I mean, yes, we do say that they have to get divorced in order to protect the child, but kishiyagiyazmano, at the end of the necessary period, then he can go ahead if he wants to. Lichnos, yichnos. If he wants to, there's no problem. So therefore, that's the machloket. Continuing now in the bright of other cases, a youngster, a rove, shenasa karav zekina. So a youngster means a male that does not have other children. This is his first marriage. And he goes and he marries an old woman who's postmenopausal or a sterile woman, not an islandist. Whereas again, as we saw before, Rabbi Elazar Omer, what's the problem? There's nothing innately wrong with his marriage. He just needs another woman to be able to reproduce with. And then after they go to the chuppah, after they do the yibum, at that point she's in nisteret. So there it actually worked. If he takes me'uberet, umeineket atzmo, so let's say he gave kinui to his wife, and she's pregnant, or she's nursing, and then she goes in and she's over on the kinui, and now if he's mashka and she dies, she's going to be killing the embryo, or she's going to be ruining the milk supply of the child that she's nursing. There, it's no different. And if a roven asak harav is kenav yeshlo isha banim, in other words, this second part of the brayta now is the contrast to the first part of the brayta. It takes the same cases but changes one of the details. So over here we have a youngster who has a wife, he has another wife, or he had children from before. Oshota, olonatelektuva, that's like anybody else. Now, how about an eshet mamzer, a proper eshet mamzer? She herself is a mamzer, and she's married to a mamzer. An eshet natin, she herself is a natina, she's married to a natin. Or an eshet ger ve'eved mishuchrar, I was going to ask, what the heck is that supposed to mean? But we'll see. And here's the main point of that. We've learned the whole brayta just for this word. The islandit. So over here, we're treating the islandit just like anybody else. So according to Reb Nachman, this doesn't make any sense. Katani mi islandit. Tiyuv to Reb Nachman. Reb Nachman says that an islandit is excluded because of the pasuk of v'nikta v'nizra zera, and she's not capable of v'nizra zera. Amalach Reb Nachman. So here is where we dropped off yesterday, where we got up to the question. Answers, Reb Nachman, you're 100% right. This brayta is totally against me, but so what? I have another Tana that I was talking like, and that was a different brayta. Tanoihi, anad amrikai Tana. I'll tell you which Tana I hold of, and that is the following brayta, the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ailonit, lo shotav, lo notel k'tuvata, shenema v'niktav v'nizra zera, mi shedarkala hazriya, yatz tazosha in darkala hazriya. So therefore, it says very clearly, like me, word for word. Actually, you know, that's a pretty strong pasuk. The Rabbanan who disagree with Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and they say that an island it is shotav. What do they do with the pasuk of v'niktav v'nizra zera? I mean, doesn't that imply that the entire Parsha of Sota is talking about the pool of women that can be Niktav and Nizra Zera? No, well, that they use for the following, like we had in the Brayta. Boy, look at it, Tanya, v'niktav and Nizra Zera. What does that show us? It tells us that in the event that a woman was an Akara, she will be Nifkedet, Divri Rabbi Akiva, and she will have a child. Amala Rabbi Yishmael, does that make sense to you, Rabbi Akiva? I mean, Imkein, Isatru kola akarot v'yipaktu. You're going to tell me that anybody who doesn't care about mechikat Hashem, you know, so she'll go ahead and she'll do the old chana trick, you know, so that if she'll get her husband to be mekaneh her by acting out this relationship that she's got, which is all a fake, and she will get herself kinoid, and then she'll get herself stirad, and then she'll get herself sotad, and then she'll have children, you know. I mean, and then if you have a decent woman who is makpid not to do such a thing, so this poor woman, so she didn't want to erase the Shem Hashem, and so she's such a good girl, so she should go without children, but all the people don't give a hang, they should have children. Does that make sense to you? I don't think that's possible. That can't be what it means. So then when it says That's coming to tell me that there will be an improvement in reproductive function, but it doesn't mean that she will be nifkedet if she doesn't have any reproductive functions. She'imaita yoledet bitzar, yoledet berevach. So if she used to have a lot of pain in birth, so she'll have easier births. Used to have female children, she'll have male children, if you like that kind of thing. Or if she used to have short kids, so now she can have these tall kids. If she used to have dark skinned kids, she'll now have these light kids and so on. That's that type of thing that it means, but it certainly it doesn't mean that she can get herself out of a problem of akarut in any event. So that would mean that the Rabbanan who argue with Rav Shimon Elazar, they use the pasuk for one of these issues, but not that it's coming to exclude a woman who's not part of the Nizra Zera. Okay, fine. By the way, you mentioned a couple of things in this bright. I mean, I know it's not our sugya, says the Gemara, but you mentioned a number of things which are weird. So, I mean, what you said, let me ask you. You said, Eshet Mamzer la Mamzer. You've got a woman who was Re'uya to the Mamzer, and she's married to a Mamzer, and everything is fine, so she can be Shota. Well, why not? I don't understand. I mean, there's nothing wrong with her marriage. So, Pshita. I'll tell you why. Because, look, I mean, the whole point of drinking as a sota is to reestablish the relationship with her husband, right? Now, do we really want to help these people reproduce if all they're going to be doing is bringing more mamzerim into the world? I mean, we got enough mamzerim, don't we? So, I mean, we could just sort of say, okay, great, you know, no more, bye-bye. I mean, so why should we erase the Shem Hashem for mamzerus? That's what I would have thought. Maudatima. I mean, there's no advantage. Look, this is part of the halacha. I mean, the fact that you don't like the idea of being mefresh mamzerim, I mean, it's all very nice. When you write your own Torah, you can put in a miyah to be mamayet mamzerim, but, you know, it's not really up to you. Okay, well, what about this next thing? Eshet ger ve'evet meshuchrar. The island is, I don't understand the thing about it. Eshet ger, I mean, obviously, pshita. Well, Ma'ad HaTema, what do we need this Daberel B'nai Yisrael for? I mean, maybe that's coming at the beginning, Gufa to tell me B'nai Yisrael in their source, but not on Gerim, and they don't have this whole thing about drinking from the Mesota. Kamash Malanda, that's not true. Maybe it is true. I mean, how do you know it's not true? V'imachinami. Because, as we said, the Amarta is a Ribui. I mean, don't apply this idea to specifically to a strict interpretation. Eshet Kohen, well, the other thing I didn't understand in the Mishnah was this business about Kohen, Eshet Kohen. I mean, why in the world would a Kohen be different? Why should I think that the Eitza of the Mesota wouldn't be applicable to Kohenim? That's strange, isn't it? I mean, isn't it Pshita that he could drink? Mao de Tema, well, actually, I would have thought, if you take a look at the Parsha, remember that one of the things in the Parsha is V'yi lo nitfas. So, and remember that we darshan from that V'yi lo nitfas. But there are cases in which, even if she was nitfas, she would be asura. Okay, what is that referring to? That's referring to an Eshes Kohen. Eshes Kohen, even in the event that she was raped, she still becomes asura to her husband. So, hanitfasa mutar. Basha enkein. In this case, vizo, this eshet kohen. Since that pasuk of yilo nitfasa is not referring to her, so maybe the point is of that pasuk that the whole continuation of the parsha is telling us that it only applies to a woman who, if she was raped, would be muteret, but that this entire test does not apply to a woman who, even though she was tested, it would, and she turns out not to have done anything wrong, but that wouldn't matter if she was raped, and therefore she should be a surah. So maybe what's the point? Ema lo tishte. So then maybe ein achinami, she shouldn't drink. Kamashmalan, therefore, comes to tell us that no, she still drinks. And then the Mishnah puts in, and by the way, she is muteret lebaala. And if she drinks, so then she's muteret lebaala. Now you would have thought, well, now wait a minute. After all, the Eshet Kohen could have been raped, and she would be innocent, but she would still be asura to her husband. So then if she drank, and it turns out that she hadn't done anything wrong, vis-a-vis a Kohen, that doesn't prove that she is still allowed to stay with her husband, does it? So therefore comes along the Mishnah to say that nonetheless you should know she's muteret l'ba'ala. And I mean, doesn't that make sense? So why does the Gemara say pshita? Why would she not be muteret l'ba'ala? What do you mean? Why? On the contrary. Why is she muteret l'ba'ala? So in other words, the pashas, you have to say that once the Mishnah has told me that she is shota, so then obviously she's going to be muteret l'ba'ala, because otherwise the idea of her being shota is ridiculous. What's the point? What are we trying to prove? Isn't the entire issue of the mesota that she should be muteret l'ba'ala? That's the test, right? And they were coming that the Shechina should be able to bring Shalom Bayis and they should get back together. So Bishlama, if you would have told me that, well, you know what, you're right. V'hilo nitfases b'ma'et eshet kohen. Okay, that would make sense. But if you're telling me that, on the contrary, kamash v'lan, that it's not b'ma'et eshet kohen, so then that is ipso facto saying that she will be muteret to her husband. That's the point. So therefore it's pshita. What's the chiddush? If she can drink, then she's muteret. Amravuna, no, the chiddush is that she drank, but she was mitnavna, she survived, but she starts declining in her health. And afapikein, she's muteret l'ba'ala. What are you talking about? If she's mitnavna, we said that that shows that she is guilty and that there's a schus that was teila, remember? That was the whole point. That she immediately begins declining in her health and ultimately dies. But if you're telling me that that's when she's muteret, now I'm totally confused. It's not true. There would be that she failed the test. That's not a pass. No, we're talking about over here. She's mitnavna derech evarim. So and what happens is like this. We said before that she's mitnavna. The meaning of that was that she begins to decline in precisely the same way that she would have just in slow motion, remember? So in other words, if she would have explosively declined in terms of bitna and nefelat yerecha. So now, over the period of the next months or years or whatever it is, she gradually declines in the same way. But over here, the decline did not affect her in those areas at all. Stop, she's sick. So if she's sick in other areas, so I would have thought, so maybe what happened over here is that the Torah wants to indicate that, listen, there's a problem with this woman even though she didn't sin. What's the problem? She was raped. That's what you would have thought. So therefore, maybe that's an indication if her husband is a Kohen, so then he would indeed be Asura, because we see she didn't come out in very good shape out of this. And therefore, I would have thought that maybe this is a new sign. Ma'odetema hazanuya zanai, that actually she did sleep with this guy, but it wasn't her fault, because ha'odolobatkua mayaki urche, the reason that the besota didn't work was because it was a rape, mishum deba'onez zanai. But nonetheless, vis-a-vis a Kohen, she should remain usher, and this would be a sign to the Kohen that she's usher. Kamashmalan. Therefore, it's coming to tell us, don't read your own magic into the Mesota. The Torah defines precisely what it is that the Mesota does. And if, by coincidence, this woman contracts a disease, etc., what is that your business? What right do you have to make these kinds of, well, it must be a sign from above? There ain't no signs from above, other than the sign that the Torah gave you. And therefore, so what are you going to say? Well, but maybe she was raped, and that's why she passed. What do you mean, maybe? So on the basis of a maybe, we're going to ask her to her husband? Where does that come from? The whole idea of the Kohen, I mean, of the Sota, of creating Isser, is a Kiddush in the Torah, which is based on the Raglayim L'Dover. Oh, that's true. But, I mean, the bottom line is that this is the procedure that we're supposed to use in order to establish these things. So I don't understand where you come from. We're not going to asur an eshes koitim mitzad Suffolk, and I don't care what the signs are. That's good for what it's coming to tell you to avoid. Okay. Kamashmama. I've got a lot of hiders today, and I'm not happy. I mean, first of all, we didn't have Elroy Smile. That's a big problem. We didn't get a Santa Claus beard. Major problem. We didn't get the Big N showing his sunroof. Horrible problem. We didn't get a Gavi Smile driving around and showing us the beautiful Galil. The Rebbe even hides his Or Panav. This is a very, very serious problem. I don't know how I'm supposed to be able to continue over here. Moshe Andel looks like he's sitting in front of a computer screen instead of, there we go. We're starting to get somewhere. What's that?
Wrapping briskets.
Brisket?
Yeah, wrapping them.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful. Okay. So that I guess you're preparing us for the Siyum upcoming.
No, he's just ribbing you.
Oh, gosh. Mordechai, it's not worth giving him an opening. All right. I guess we've got some people that cannot show themselves, so we'll take it. Weiter. So anyway, the next thing that I want to talk about the Mishnah says that an Eshet Saris is Shota. Well, why wouldn't she be? What is that supposed to mean? Who? I mean, she doesn't have a chiyuv to the period of Arivia that we should say, oh, it's an illicit marriage because if she gets married, she has to be able to have children. Who said? Why does she have to have children? So if there's nothing wrong with the marriage, so why would there be a chiddush in saying that we want to preserve the marriage and that the Torah gave the option of the mashka, bala mashka, as a sota? Because, ma'o detemi bi bala de ishech amar achmana. I might have thought that the idea over here is, remember, there is no din of a seita unless the husband has had the first relations with her, and then she violates that by being with some other man. But since over here, he is not capable for that, so it's not shayach to say that we... Now, there's a little bit of a problem over here, because the question is, before, which we had a Chavdalin, so the idea of Rashi was, we spoke about that for a moment, and he says that that's not considered to be Bia. Now, the question is, are we talking about the type of sterility that means that he can't have an erection, or are we talking about the type of sterility that means that he has a zero sperm count? I mean, there's two different issues over here, because, I mean, why would we say, before Rashi says, so we learned that, l'chora, that means that he can't have an erection, which is called the shakuf, as the Rambam explains, we're going to have soon. But, I mean, over here, Rashi says, we're talking about someone who can have an erection, and therefore is included in the Mibala Dei Sheikh, and therefore it's telling us that we don't need for him to actually be able to create pregnancies. That's not the point. So this is something of a problem, because the truth is we have a major machlok, it's very nogea in very unfortunate circumstances, but very nogea, the din of Sris Adam at Sris Chama, the question of whether there is an iser of actually being married to someone who has been the pashtas castrated, because that's the idea of krot shofcha that we have in the Torah, and so on. All of the definitions that we have over there are physical pegamim. Suppose you don't have a physical pegam. Suppose there is a pegam that is caused by a medication that destroys his ability to form sperm, let's say, right? Is that considered to be also a Saris Adam that would be usher to be married to? Now, Rashi talks about in this Gemara, and this becomes a major machlokas rishonim, that if he were, in fact, sterilized and doesn't have sperm, then it would be usher to be married to him. And therefore, Rashi has to talk out that, no, here we're talking about where he was actually congenitally sterile. and wasn't sterilized by some type of chemical. Tosfos says, where the heck does Rashi come off saying that someone that doesn't have any physical blemish, just because he doesn't have any sperm, is considered to be the equivalent of a soris that the Torah was talking about in terms of the iser of kroshovcha? That really doesn't make any sense. This becomes now a big issue, bisman hazeh, because many men go through these sterility procedures in order for them to avoid having children. But now it's another question is, aliba Rashi, does that mean that such a person is not allowed to be married? Anyway, as you could see, this sugya has many types of implications. So the next thing that the Mishnah said is that you can give a kinui on any relative, and that would be a kosher kinui. So you could tell a mother, I don't want you to be alone with your son. Wow. Okay, but I mean, why not? Why would we think that it's less of a problem to give a kinui with an arias? Because I might have thought, like, look, Ma'ad HaTema, remember that we learned out we're going to have the main sugya later, but we've spoken about it many times, that since we learn out that the Bo'el is usur, the same way the Baal is usur, and if the Baal gets out of the picture through dying or through divorce, the Boel is never going to be able to be allowed to marry this woman. We learned that out from the repetition of Nitma'a, Nitma'a. Echad le-Ba'al ve-Echad le-Boel. So I would have thought that is definitive of the entire context of Saita. And if the Boel anyway would not be able to marry her, it's just her son or father or whatever, so then in that case, it's not included in the entire Parsha. Again, the question is whether the details of the Parsha actually define the set of women that are included in the Parsha. So over here, since in any event, Echnikol Mitzvah Behem Znut, that's what the Parsha Sota discusses, where the Boel becomes usur only because of the fact that he's had relations with this married woman. But in this case, where the iser of the Boel is a given because it's her father, her son, Hoel v'asur v'kaima from before, Emalo, maybe the whole set, she's not a member of the set of women to whom the din of Sota applies at all. Kamash malan that it does. Okay. Then we had another case, chutz min hakatan. Where do we get that from? So if you say, I don't want you to be alone with so-and-so, and he is a katan, so then that's not considered to be a kinui. Well, that's because it says in the Torah, specifically, v'shachav ish ota shichvat zera. And over here, it's not an ish. So in which case, it's not included. So now, I mean, the issue is like this. If we're talking about a katan in the sense that he's a katan in terms of chiyuvim, he's not bar mitzvah. Okay, so then this makes sense. But if we're talking about a katan, meaning that he's less than 9 years old, in which case he doesn't have a legal bia anyway, right? So then maybe it wouldn't have any meaning. And the problem is that the Rambam actually learns that that's what we're talking about. When it says katan, it means a katan in terms of bia. It doesn't mean a katan in terms of chiyuvim. And therefore the question is, okay, so what's the chiddush? So this, the Rambam's approach, there's all Reb Chaim Brisker on this, that according to the Rambam, the issue of kinui can be defined by the Baal. And therefore, even if it's a relationship that doesn't satisfy the requirements of her becoming a surah midiraisa, on the husband can create an iser like that, which has all kinds of incredible implications, which we'll talk about some of the issues as we go along over here. But, I mean, that is a tremendous chiddush of the Rambam, and everybody breaks their head trying to find a marker for the Rambam. There's all kinds of discussions about it. Okay. Continuing on to the Mishnah that says, and it also excludes someone who is not a man. Now, what is that supposed to mean, someone who's not a man? I mean, you could say he's not a real man because he's a shachuf. A real man, you know, I mean, he's got to have an erection, right? The guy's not a real man. Some people always use that language. He's not a real man. Okay, so maybe that's what you mean. But the problem is that Shmuel said that a shachuf mekanin al yado. Now, again, this is another one of those implications. According to the Rambam, a shachuf doesn't just mean he's impotent. It means he cannot have an erection at all. The Meiri says he cannot sustain an erection. He can have an erection briefly, or he can get a little bit of an erection. We'll see what difference that makes. But according to the Rambam, if he cannot have an erection, so then there's no meaning to the word bia, because the halacha is that if someone sleeps with a woman with a flaccid penis, it's not considered to be a, that's how we pass, that's a machlokas, that someone who is bial be'ever mate. So if he's flaccid, it's not considered to be an act of bia at all. In which case, what are you saying? How is it possible to be mekanin al yado, and how is it possible to say that he would be poso betruma if it's not considered to be a bia at all? So how could the Rambam learn that we're talking about, again, somebody who cannot have an erection? So according to the Meiri, okay, you could say that he maybe can't sustain an erection, but he can at least make a case of possibly for truma. But according to the Rambam, Bishlama, to say that you could be mekane and that that's dependent on the hakpat of the Baal, as we're going to see more of in a moment, maybe, but why would it possible from achilas truma? These are all the problems of our definitions. So according to Shmuel, mekanina yado, so if lamaisa you say he can have a brief erection, so then it's pashut, no? Pshita, according to Rambam, it should not be pshita. Another question on the Rambam's pshat. So why would I think that a shachuf would not be included? Because ma'o tetema v'shachav yishot tashich lat zera omer achmona v'olav bar hachihu. Look, the point is that when the Torah goes out of its way, I mean, what do we have to be so graphic for? What do we have to talk about? We know what v'shachav yishotah means. So maybe the point is that he needs to be able to have the normal type of copulation that is going to bring to a gmar bia and to have a child and so on. And therefore, in this case, he's not a bar hachiyu. Kamash malan, that he is. This, by the way, gives all types of amazing halakha lamaisa issues. Again, it's incredible how many real contemporary issues come from this, because a lot of the machlokas in the poskim, binogea, the question of artificial insemination. So the way, and this is how Reb Shlomo Zalman understands this sugya, that in the event that we're calling this not to be v'shachav yishot tashich latzera, but we know for a fact that obviously it is possible to have sperm and to impregnate a woman and not to necessarily need an erection to do that. And therefore, what is the status of that sperm? So Reb Shlomo Zalman understands that that status, according to him, is the same as artificial insemination, which would mean that in the case of this being someone else's wife that's being impregnated, then it would be a din of a mamzer. Many other poskim, including Reb Meisha, poskim not like that. And that artificial insemination of a married woman does not create mamzeros. But this is all a question of how do we understand this to be excluded from Shechvat Zera. They used to believe, so then they didn't have this problem. They used to believe that without, you know, we've had that many times in the Gemara, that without an erection, sperm doesn't work. You know, and you need to have yorek echetz. But we know that that isn't true. However it is that you want to explain the Gemara, is it Shinui Teva, whatever you like to say. I mean, it's really not relevant. But the bottom line is, the baby is relevant, and you can't argue with the baby. So in that case, the question would be, what would be its status in terms of Ish Ota Shechvat Zera? So you could see how this Gemara would be very much nogea. Posel Betruma, well, isn't that obvious? Again, if we're talking about he's capable of an erection, why wouldn't he posel Betruma? Again, that would be more like the Miri, not like the Rambam. So it would be Poshet. Ma'o detema lo yechalel zar'o. So that means that he has, it's, when we're talking about v'lo yechalel zar'o, remember that lo yechalel is a double meaning. He's going to passel the woman and he's going to passel his children. But this person who cannot sustain an erection, we're saying, or doesn't have one at all, is not going to have zera to be mechalel. And therefore, I would have thought that the less lay zera will not be mechalel at all. Meaning he, in the same way he's not going to be mechalel his zera, he's not going to be mechalel, the double meaning of mechalel, the double lamed, comes to tell me that he's also mechalel her. So he will not be mechalel her, and therefore she will be kshera fraktila shruma. Therefore, kamash malan, that no, even though it doesn't apply to zara, oh, it does apply to her. Okay, so that anyway, what does it mean now? We're back to our problem. Because according to the way Shmuel is learning, you can't say that the Mishnah, when it says, kinoi for a person who is not a man, does not mean who's not a real man and can't get it up. That's not the point. Okay, so what is the point? Says the Gemara, must be to be memayet an ovid kochavim. So an ovid kochavim in this context, you're going to tell me, is not included in kinoi. So if he tells his wife, I don't want you being alone with your goyish boss, that's not considered to be kinoi. But that's not true. Because Amar Rav Amnuna, an ovid kochavim mikanin al yado poso betruma, that actually it's not the halacha. There's no reason why not to be Mekana, because she will be actually Asura to him based on the Bia of an Oved Kochavim, and because of this, it will passel her actually from Truma too. So if the Bia is considered to be the violation of the Eishes Ish, so why would it not be included in the Parsha of Seita? So therefore, it would be obvious that Mekanin al Yado. Well, isn't that pshita? Is there really a basis for thinking that you cannot actually be mekana even against the person who is going to aser her? I'll tell you why. Again, because ma'odetema, remember, the Torah mentions nitma'a twice. And the chiddush of that was to tell me echad labal ve'echad labo'el. And that means that, like we said before, only the set of bo'alim that would become asurim because of the adultery, that's what the Torah has included. Echa teka mitzra boz ayidei zinuz. Vashenke, in this case, she's not allowed to be sleeping with a guy anyway. It would have nothing to do with the zinuz. And in this case, there'd be no meaning to the double nitma'a. So maybe it's not included in the set of bo'alim that are in the parsha of Seita. That's the point. So avala hayov asura v'kaima, that's a standard iser. It's not nogea the zinuz. Emalo kamash malan. That's the chiddush. And Rav Amnuna said, he will passel her for Truma. Of course he'll passel her for Truma. Why not? You're telling me that it's totally zarus to her. Yes, but ma'odetema, remember, there's a big, big parsha about the din of a bat kohen in terms of becoming psula for achilas Truma. Okay? What is that? That is that in the event that she gets married to an Izar. Izar means a Yisrael even, right? A Levi. As long as she's married to that Izar, so she does not eat Truma, even though she used to eat Truma when she was unmarried. But there the Torah goes on to say that in the event that now her husband dies and leaves her, she then goes back, if she doesn't have any children from that Izar, she then goes back and she eats again from the Trumat Beis Avia. So now if that's the case, I would have said like this. The whole parsha begins with the word ki tihiyeh le'izar. Tihiyeh le'izar is a technical term. Remember, the word havaya is always a reference to Kedushin, which means that the ish zar that passels her is a man that has havaya. So he is a bar havaya, but if he's not a bar havaya, so then it's not included in this idea that she cannot eat the truma anymore. Kamash malan, that it does passel her. What's the basis of it? How do we know that it does passel her, even though it says havaya? That's based on Rabbi Yochanan. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishmo. How do we know that an ovek and kochavim or an evet that sleep with a kohenet, or with a levia, or with a bat Yisrael, that all of those become permanently pasul from eating truma, whether she's eating the truma as beis avia, or whether she's eating because she married a kohen, she no longer is ever able to eat truma, Shinemar ubat kohen ki tiye almana ugrusha. Then what does it say? That then she goes back to eat mitrumas beis avia. Though that it says v'zera ein la v'shava el beit avia ki ne'ureha. So what's the din? Milechem avia tochal. She's allowed to eat the truma. But that's only where it says that she's an almana or a grusha, which implies mishi yeshlo almanut v'gerushin ba. When does she ever go back to her father's home? That's only where the source of the problem of the izar was the type of izar that leaves her with a get or with a concept of her being an almana. That means that she was legally married and that she is no longer married. But in this case, she is not a legal divorcee. She is not a legal almana because they were never married. And therefore, yatsu avikachom ve'eved, where there's no concept of almanut, no concept of gerushin, and that's not included in the pasuk of bat kohen ki tiyeh almana ugrusha. So therefore, she's never chozeret lechol milechem beit avia, which shows that she's been nifselet permanently from achilat truma, and therefore, in the case that she's not a bas kohen, she's married to a kohen, obviously the same halacha would apply. So I don't understand. I've looked high and low. I can't figure out what the Mishnah means when it says someone who's not a man. What does that mean? I'm Rav Papa. What do you mean? What does it mean? Suppose he says, I don't want you hanging around with that gorilla. So is that considered? Now, of course, there may be some questions of what kind of gorilla we're talking about and how close to human is that gorilla. But in any event, assuming that it's over the line and it's actually an animal and not included in human, so then it's teaching us that it's not considered to be a kinui. And that's because the ein zinut bivehima. This idea of animal sex has nothing to do with znut. It's a completely different issue. So it's the same way. Again, remember how carefully the Torah defines the nature of sexual relations in ways that are so different than Western society, in which when Clinton says, I never had sex with that woman, according to the Torah, he was telling the absolute truth. And that is a completely different way of looking at these kind of issues. We talked about the absurdity of broomsticks being sodomy and behema being defined as znus and so on. No, it's not true. According to the Torah, we don't view this as anything that's included in the concept of adultery. You don't commit adultery by sleeping with an animal, for God's sake. And therefore, it's not included in the issues of Saita at all. Omar le Rava mi parzakil Ravashi, but how do we know that? How did the Rabbanan take for granted? Mina amilted Omar Rabbanan ein znut bivehima. Well, it's very simple. The Torah says, lo taviet nanzona umechir kelev, beit Hashem elokecha. So you're not allowed to bring an etnan of a zona. So in other words, if you pay a zona for her services with a sheep, let's say, that sheep cannot be brought as a karma. And if it's a mechir kelev, so you went ahead and you sell a kelev and exchange it for a sheep, you can't bring that sheep because it's not considered to be the same level of kiddush that is roi for the mizbeach, because it's an exchange for a kelev. But the Mishnah says, this is only as it's stated, etnan zonal mechir kelev. But how about an etnan of a kelev? So in other words, suppose you pay a woman to service your dog. That's not considered to be a problem. If you paid her with a sheep, that sheep is fine. There's no problem. Suppose you own a zona. You have a shivcha knanit whose business is harlotry. So what do? You exchange her for a sheep so that it would be called a mechir zona. So the etnan of a kelev and a mechir of a zona are excluded from the parsha. So that shows you that when you pay a whore for sleeping with your dog, it's not considered to be an act of harlotry. So it's a totally different issue. Inappropriate things that smack to people of sexual relations. And therefore, it's not considered to be mutarim. Asurim. Why? Because it's mutar shenemar gam shnehem. Why does the Torah repeat the word gam shnehem? I know how to count. Because that's good for the point. I'm telling you two cases, not four cases. You can't flip this into a mechir of a zonah or an etnan of a kelev. That's exactly the point. So then that means it's not considered to be something that gets into the issue of human relationships. So memela, it means that if you said, that must be what the Mishnah means. It means if you said to her, do not be alone with this gorilla or with this dog, I mean, whatever it is you want to say, that's not considered to be a actual kinoi at all. So, okay, so we said that if this guy is actually impotent, so then he's still included in the dinim of sota. But then you have it explained to me. Why does it say shechva zera? Because that doesn't add anything. So what's the point? Ah, that I need to know. Shechva zera excludes something else. Oh, come on, man. I mean, you're going to start using euphemisms. I don't know what you're talking about. So what is something else? My dover acher, I mean, fess up. Amar of Sheshes, it means prat l'shekinela shalo kedarka. So suppose he says, I don't want you alone with that guy who is going to have anal intercourse with you. Whatever. I mean, if that's what he said, that's what he said. And then the question is that considered to be a kinui or not? No, it's coming to tell me, prat l'dover acher, because that's not the normal way to use sperm to get pregnant. Okay, Amar le'rava, excuse me, that's ridiculous. There's no such thing. The Torah never makes a distinction between anal intercourse or vaginal intercourse. So it's exactly the same. We learned that out from Mishkevei Isha, and therefore you can't make an artificial distinction all of a sudden when it comes over here to Sota. It doesn't make sense. What it means is, Elo Amar Rava, Prat L'Shekinela Derech Evarim. The guy says, I don't want you making out with that guy. I know the two of you are playing around. But we never do, you never do anything. That means he never penetrates you, but God only knows what he's got all over you. And that's called Derech Evarim, right? So that's what he says. I don't want you to be with him for that. And he specifies that kind of behavior. So now the issue is that considered to be kinoi? Comes along the pasuk to say, no, that's not called kinoi because that's not the way to get pregnant. So, Amalei, that's ridiculous. Well, I understand. What is this? The New York Times? The Washington Post? Who the heck cares about that type of behavior? That has nothing to do with sex in terms of the Torah. But the Torah is going to answer a woman on her husband because she's doing not nice things. Pritzuta be'almahi. Pritzuta mi'asur achmana. So you're doing, I don't know, but don't include that in Western concepts of adultery. That's not adultery. Again, it's the same issue. That's the old Clinton Tina. I never had sex with that woman, period. Okay, so Enoch Hinami. In terms of the Torah, how would I have thought I need a pasuk to tell me that a woman doesn't become a surah to her husband and therefore is not included in sota? Of course not. Ela amar bra, I'll tell you what it means. It means I don't want his aver b'nashika. That's considered to be a genital kiss, so to speak. I don't want genital contact. Yeah, but he never penetrates. I don't care. That's bad enough as far as I'm concerned. Oh, wait a minute. This only makes sense, according to the Man D'Omar, who says that the definition of intercourse is at least enough of an insertion that it includes the atara. So that's considered to be intercourse. But simple genital contact, that's not called intercourse. Okay, so if that's true, and the husband comes up with this idea that I'm being mekane you derech nishika alone, so I understand that that would be what we exclude. But if you hold, according to the Man D'Omar, that hara, the definition of the hara that is considered to be bia by all of the arayas is genital contact. You don't need any insertion. So then this doesn't make sense. Ma'ikel ha'meimar. So then it would be considered to be a normal bia. How do you explain it? Answers the Gemara, we'll have to go back to what we said before. It's talking about the Shekinah LaDerech Evari. And Abaye said, but that doesn't make sense, because that's not sex. Ah, now here's where the Rambam's issue comes up. Ma'o de Tema, the Havamina of the Gemara was, that the husband can change the standards. Because since the idea over here is that we're only talking about something that the husband has created as a problem by saying his kinoi, I would have thought that he can extend the definitions in his mind of what constitutes vis-a-vis his relationship, sexual contact. And to me, this is bad enough. And therefore, to him, maybe it would be usher. Ubal hakakapi. The Baal is saying he is makbi. Now, this is nogeh, of course, the Rambam's issue before about the Ventesha. Maybe he could say, to me, this is sex. In the same way that he could say, to me, derech evorim, this is sex. Or, to me, nishika is sex. If you hold according to the other mandiyama, that it's not. So therefore, I would need a pasuk to tell me that even though he's makbid, he cannot extend the envelope of the Torah's definition of what is considered to be sex. That's the point. So this would be, again, according to the Rambam, excluding, if we're talking about excluding the katan, would also be nogeh the question of the kepeda de baals. Even though the Torah says this is not bia. So you say, okay, so then it must be referring to a katan who's over 9 but under 13. No, because the same issue could be an extended definition vis-a-vis sota, where the baal is creating new realities about what aser. Look, in the same way that kinui aser stira, even in cases where there's no iser yichud, as we pointed out. So if it's talking about a korov to her, where there's no iser yichud, her own child, there's no iser yichud, or maybe there's no iser yichud because it's only considered to be stira vis-a-vis a sota, but it's not considered to be stira vis-a-vis yichud, maybe the front door is wide open. And that's not considered to be an iser yichud, but it would still be an iser stira, and so on and so forth. So maybe that would even apply to the definition of what sexual contact is. Kamash malon, all of these cases in the Mishnah, that there cannot be an extension of that, but there can be an extension of hakpada in the person. Okay, Rabosai, fascinating, fascinating sugya, which remarkably, I mean, who would think that Saita would have so many contemporary issues that are associated with it? These are mamish sugyas, which there's tons and tons of discussion. Mamish among poskim, contemporary poskim, not just the question of the theory of the Gemara.